Well, as Terrell mentioned, we do have our dear friend Pastor Lowe with us. And if you are wanting to, if it would be a blessing, the United with Christ International Canada version of it brought Lowe here. They're paying for him and sponsoring it. But he could always use extra. So if you are able to at all to give extra, any loose things that go into the offering box, it's all in the back there. We don't pass the plate, but the plate you pass by. So don't pass by this time. Stop right there and put some extra cash in there. All the loose cash will go to him, but then anything designated to Lowe will be going to him as well. So if you could please do that. Well, I want to tell you a little bit of a story that was brought back to my attention this past week. I'm going to start by reading from James chapter 1. I'm not preaching. Don't worry. This will take about 5 minutes, maybe. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." What do you do when you hit a wall? I'm sure that you all know what I'm talking about. In regards to our prayers, in regards to faith, what do we do when we hit a wall? Well, this past week I was reading from the book. You might all remember this book back in, a while ago. Pastor James, the former youth pastor, and I, we preached a sermon series on the book of James. And from that, we were asked to put this book together. So we put the book together and we made it for the congregation here. And it was, I think some of you might have it or might have had it. I don't know. But it was a study in this book of James, and it was a collection of our sermons. And one phrase stood out to me because I was reading through this and it was on the first page. And it said this: "God is now challenging me on a tougher issue." Now, I remember going through different issues, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to look at the calendar and find out what date this was preached. And it was January the 9th of 2011. And I thought back to that time. I was mentioning this because I went through an issue, if you remember. Back in the day, I went through an issue in regards to traffic violations. Not that I got caught, or when I did, I got off on it, but that I would continually do things that were against the traffic laws. And God challenged me on that. And so I went through a period of time of at least 2 years where I was very conscious, even if I was in a vehicle, that somebody was speeding or goes through a stop sign, including the ones in the on the farm just outside of, you know, where nobody is and you can see for 4 miles, you still have to stop because it's the law. And that really was what I went through. I went through a challenging time in regards to that. It wasn't that hard. But then God challenged me on a tougher issue. And that tougher issue was that I read Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. And the first phrase in that, or very close to the first phrase, is, "These signs will follow those who believe." And I was put into a cocoon, what I call a cocoon, because I recognized that those signs weren't following me. And I actually questioned whether I truly was a believer. It was a tough time. I really was challenged. Well, then that summer, so this was in January that I preached this message. That challenge actually started in December. That summer, in July, approximately, My parents challenged me to go to a website. And so I went to that website. And the first words that came up were Mark 16:15-18. These signs will follow those who believe. And then it had the three dots. My spirit quickened, and I was like, I need to reach out. And that was the first time that I called Pastor Lowe and invited him to the church. It wasn't the first time I met him, but it was the first time I invited him here. Long story short, God used Pastor Lowe to break out, to help me break out of my cocoon. God used him so much and so powerfully. But the problem is that I had to persevere with patience from that December when I got put into this cocoon to that, well, July was when I found out that I needed to reach him. October was when he came here and challenged me greatly and changed things immensely, because that was when Chris Lindbergh received his revelations. And look at where he's at now, like how wonderful God is with what he does. But I had to be like Abraham. I had to not waver in my faith. Even though I was questioning my beliefs, I had to believe without wavering. I was put into a tough trial. And I had to all of a sudden grab hold and just say, I am not letting go until it's shown to me. And then the following March and April, I went to Zambia. And God did the absolute worst thing to me that he possibly could. He said to Lo, not to me, to Lo, said, I'm going to leave you alone, because God said, I'm not supposed to teach you. You're supposed to learn this on your own. Which was the worst and best thing that God could do to me. The worst because it was hard. The best because it took. Meaning that it grabbed hold and it changed my life. So, today, I give honor where honor is due, and I ask you to welcome with an open heart Pastor Lo Ronquist from Spirit Ablaze Ministries.
Did it be hacky, yeah? Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Corey. He almost makes me sound, Steve, you're actually in the company of a celebrity, you know. He makes me sound like a celebrity. Well, I'm not a celebrity. I'm just low. And it's so good to be back. How are you doing? You can have me. You can give me a hug. I haven't seen you in ages.
Hi.
Good to see you. It is so good to be back in the house. Yeah, it's how many, some years now. And yeah, some of us got a little older. But this morning, it's not about me. It's not about, it's about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to trust the Lord this morning. In John chapter 6. Sê as my, hoe gaan dit, Ansie? Gaan het goed met julle? Lekker om julle te sien. En dan daar Gerrit. Hoe gaan het, Boet? Nee, lekker. Hoe lang is jy in Canada?
Amper 5 jaar.
En hoe is die Canadese? Is al alright. Dat is ook maar net waar, nie, ek is mal oor die Canadese. Ek is nou so 24 jaar, wat ek elke somer hier is. Ja, ek is amper een Canadese al, maar ek hou vast in Afrika, jong, ek is geroe daar. So in John chapter 6, verse 63, says this, it says, let's read it. Because I'm actually on a mission here this morning. I'll be very honest with you. I came, I'm on a mission, and the word says that the words that been sent out will not return void, but will do and will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So this morning, I'm not here. If you're here, if you're expecting a sermon from me, I'm not here to preach a nice sermon. I'm here with a purpose in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 63 says this. Is it there? There it is. It says, the Spirit gives life and the Spirit counts for nothing. Now Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. The words that I had spoken unto thee, they are full of Spirit and life. So this morning I trust that the Word will be full of life. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of life. So let's pray. Truly, Father, your Word is the Word of life. And my Father, this morning, as we open your Word and utter your Word, it will bring life. In Jesus' mighty name, my Father, life full of Spirit and life. Lord, you said it's not by power, it's not by might, but it is by your Spirit. So we thank you this morning, Father, that by the Spirit that you will impact our lives this morning. Lord, you remember, Lord, when you said that you have been cleansed by the hearing of my word. So Father, this morning, as we sit under the influence of the Holy Ghost and under the influence of your word, that your word will do its job to bring life. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, as I was preparing in the week, Pastor Corey invited me, and I heard this morning that he didn't tell anybody that I was coming. Is this a shock for you that I'm here? Who was shocked? It's the first time I've ever heard this. But anyway, it's not the first time. I was preparing for coming here, and I said, Lord, what word want you to give me? And he gave me a word. And when Terrell Fletcher said, by the way, I flew in this morning with my private pilot and private jet. Sounds so important. But as we came into town, Terrell asked me, listen, have you heard about the other church in town? Okay, so the very first thing that's on his mind is, what about the other church? And I do know that this is something hanging in the air. What about the other church? And most of us here this morning, that's a thing. You know, Pastor Corey talked about hitting the wall. What do you do if you hit a wall? And I think most of us is right there. We're having this maybe very unspoken crisis. Where do we go from here? I think I've got my doctor's degree in hitting a wall. Yeah, I think I can speak on that. You know, some of you know, some of you don't know that one of my sons got in an accident 2 years ago and he's paralyzed. Talk about hitting a wall. Where do you go from here? Being able, some of you know that being able to pray for people in wheelchairs, and everybody got up and great celebration, but now you got a boy in a wheelchair and you go to the churches where you pray for people. Imagine, the churches where I used to pray for people and get people out of wheelchairs, I now push my boy in a wheelchair into the same churches. Talk about wheels coming off. So, what do you do What do you do if things doesn't go the way you want it to go? So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 14. While we're paging there, let me tell you just a little bit about my history. Before, I don't think Corey knows about this. I pastored a church in South Africa, in Bredasdorp, most southern town on the African continent. I pastored a church there, and I've been there 13 years, and I had three church splits. So I wouldn't call them church splits, I call them church plants. That sounds better. So you guys are fortunate you had the church plant in town. Hallelujah. Church is expanding, man. So I had three church plants in my time. And I know exactly the pain and the devastation that came from that. So don't think I do not know. It's like a divorce, man. It's hurting. So let's address the elephant in the room. Now, some of us might have different walls. Corey, you called it hit the wall. Some of us might have health issues. Some of us might have relationship issues, crises. What do you do with all these things? So a good scripture is Matthew chapter 14, and I want to read it. I'm going to skip here and there. This is where Jesus told Peter to get out of the water. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into a boat and told them to cross to the other side. I want to stop there. Jesus said to the disciples. Everybody, just look at me. I really want to give life this morning. Jesus told the disciples, let's get into the boat and cross over to the other side. Jesus said, we are going to cross. We are going to the other side. So Jesus gave his word, he gave a promise, we are going to the other side. Not Jesus knew, but for the disciples, not knowing that they might face a storm on the way. You see, some of us on our journeys, Jesus gave us word and gave us a promise. Let's cross to the other side. But when we face a storm, we think, Jesus, where are you? Forgetting that he said, other side. So Jesus told his disciples, let's cross to the other side. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, thus beat up by the wind. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. So let me just tell you now. There are many ghosts on our journey. Jesus said, let's cross to the other side. On our journey, there might be many ghosts, but they're not real. They're not real. Many things might come. In my situation, my goats was every time the surgeons told me that your son will never walk again. Jesus said he will walk. Jesus spoke to my boy. He actually appeared to my boy and he told him, you will walk. But whenever we go to surgeons, They'll tell us he will never walk again. But Jesus said he will walk. You see, on our journey, there are things that pop up. You thought you're going to have a nice big church, not knowing you're going to have some church plants? But Jesus' word can never change. The word can never change. Yes, we might face many things. But we might face many things. But they're ghosts. Jesus said, let's cross. So, verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And this morning, Jesus said, it's me. It's relax. It's okay. We're going to go to the other side. Then Peter said, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you and walking on the water. Verse 29, come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of a boat, walking on the water towards Jesus. Wow, that's great. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. You see, this is a scenario. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. He was on a purpose, you know. But then the storm came and then they were scared and they thought, so all these demons popping up, ghosts. But Jesus said, I'm with you, relax, it's okay. And Peter said, Lord, tell me to get out of the water. You see, sometimes we say, Jesus, okay, if you tell me to do this, I will do this. If this is really you, if it's really you in the boat, you of you speaking to me, I will do this. So Peter got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. But he looked at the waves. He looked away. And this is the key. I love, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says this. First going to read the NIV. The NIV says, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's fix our eyes. It means fix your eyes. Set your eyes on Jesus. Okay? But the Amplified translation, have we got that? The Amplified said, looking away from all that will distract you unto Jesus. There it is. Look away from all distractions unto Jesus. This is the key. How to get out. When you hit the wall, how to survive. You look to Jesus. But the Bible says, look away from distractions. So many things can distract us. You know, even in our prayer life, when we deal with things, when we go through things, life, we are so focused on that what we are dealing with. What Jesus is no longer of a focus. I remember when I went through my church plants. I remember that my entire being was caught up in that. That's the only thing I talked about. It's the only thing I prayed about. But, you know, Scripture is clear. That what you look at is that the direction you will follow. Kenneth Copeland got a beautiful story. Know Kenneth Copeland? He said he was teaching his child to drive, his teenager. So they went on a highway, on a road. And this beautiful open road. But then there was a rock, just one rock in the middle of a road. And he told her, he said, watch out for the rock. She said, yes. And she was focusing. And guess what? She hit the rock. And he was shocked. He said, how is it possible? One rock. And the Lord spoke to him and says, that what you focus on is that your direction. That is where you will go. That what you focus on, that's your direction. This is why the Scripture says, look away from that what is distracting you unto Jesus. Let's highlight that word, distract. Okay? Distract. Some things, it will distract you. But in John, let's go John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 32 says this. The NIV says, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And I think it is an Amplified that said this. He says, if, just look at me, please. If and when the Son of God is lifted up, the Son of Man, he will attract all men unto himself. Listen to the word. If the Son of God is lifted up, he will attract. If we want the attention of Jesus Christ, if we want his attention, we need to lift Jesus. Hebrews says, look away from that that will distract you. Lot of distractions. But if you say, Jesus, mighty Jesus, he will, there's an attraction. He'll get his attention by looking away. Stop sorting out matters. I'm speaking this morning. See, the more you try to sort out matters, the deeper you get into the mud. The way is to say Jesus. If you remember, let me tell you, when I went through my church things, it was so muddy. But what saved me is this verse. This verse saved me. I said, Jesus, I want you. Sunday morning, if I go to church, I want Jesus. I want the manifest presence of Jesus in the house. My focus was no longer to solve church matters. My focus was, Jesus, I need your presence. I need Jesus. And now the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says this. I'm going to mix the King James and the Amplified together. Is that fine? It says that. As as we behold him, as we behold, as we look to him, like in a mirror, we will change from one degree of glory to the other. Steve, do you want to help me here? Please, please come and help me here. Let's get on stage there, please. Yeah, just on top there. So what it says is this. He says, as I see Jesus in his glory, it will be like in a mirror. I see Jesus. I say, Jesus, you're great Jesus. You're magnificent Jesus. Lord, to you belong the glory, the power and the might. You're the mighty God of heaven. As I see Jesus in his glory and I live Jesus, he'll get my attention. And then he says, and I will change, into the same image as Jesus. So the only thing we need to do, we need to see Jesus. We need to look away from distractions, from anything that will distract us in any way. And say, Jesus, you are great. You are great, Jesus. Now the Bible says this, and where's that verse? It's in the Bible. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look away. I need to get that verse. Where's the verse? Second Corinthians 4:18. You go back. No, go back. Second Corinthians 4:18. Second Corinthians 4:18 says, this will save us, people. You know what? When my boy, just after the accident, I almost lost my sanity. I really did. Doctor, you would know, Bethel's horrible African, Bethel African hospitals. Then you would treat the wounds 3-4 days. Then you think, gee, Jesus, yes, I'm winning. It's coming. The next day, you did everything perfect. The next day, the hole is deeper than the previous day. And it was just going for almost a year, struggle with bed sores. One day I called his wife. His wife also had a friend who was paralyzed and in a wheelchair. So one day I called the wife. I said, Virginia, how do you survive? How did you survive this? So she told me, Lo, you just look to Jesus. That's the only way. You look to Jesus. You cry, Jesus. When you treat that wound, you say, Jesus. Don't look at the wound. See Jesus. I'll never forget. So now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, verse 18, so fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So fix your eyes, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, like his wife said. Now you will lose your sanity. If you focus on that what is seen, see Jesus. How? Jesus. You see what we sometimes do, we take our burden. This looks so nice. We take our problem And we come and place it between us and Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is via our problem. And it seems that our problem does not go smaller, but even bigger. Let me encourage you this morning. Don't put this, take this thing away. You've taken it to Jesus, said, Jesus, this is my problem, but then you put it away. In our intercession, don't keep a problem or a situation right between us and Jesus. It's not going to help us. See Jesus. This is what will happen. The Bible says, as I see Jesus. Steve, help me. This is the glory of a father. That's all that. Now he says, that's it. The Bible illustrates the glory of a father. Okay? Now the Bible says, if I come to Jesus as I behold him in his mighty glory, his glory will come upon me. And now I can rise up from with his glory and address this little thing with the glory of a father. And this is no longer the issue because I've walked in the glory of a father. Is this okay? Thanks, Steve. You see, I always tell people, if we go into Africa and the villages, I'm always in Zambia, right in the heart of Zambia. And I always tell the team, look to Jesus. Just Jesus. Then as you spend time with Jesus, his glory will come upon you. And you can move from that position with his glory upon you. And you can face demons. You can face sickness and diseases. You can face HIV/AIDS. But without this, without the glory, you cannot. You're bound to fail. We are bound to fail. You see, this is just interesting. This is a good teaser. Can I give you a teaser? You know, sometimes we try so hard to be nice Christians, to be, you know, real committed Christians. And some of us, nowadays not many, but some of us are fasting, going on a fasting because I want to be more like Jesus. I want to change. So we try fasting, we start praying more and more, and you know, we do a lot of things because we want to change. Is that true? And so often do we end up being legalistic. We become legalistic in our effort to become more like Jesus. But the Bible is clear. It says, look to him. Look away from distractions unto Jesus. For if you look to him, you spend time with him, his glory and his anointing will come upon you. And in that, you can go. Can I tell a story? Anyway, I'm going to do it anyway. You see, whenever I'm out in the villages, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm focusing on Jesus. Because there's so many people that depends on you. Let me tell you this, Pastor Corey. This church depends on you looking away from the other church plant. Look away. The Just look away. See Jesus. People depend on leadership to look away and to say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Spirit of Living God. Amen. So I do know wherever I walk in the villages, people are dying, people are sick, and all kinds of things are happening down there in the villages. So it's vital for me to spend time with Jesus. So that when I come and I face something, I don't face it in my own strength, my own capacity. But I face it in the anointing and the glory of the Father. There's one specific story, an incident. I was in Africa in a village. It was in Zimba. Pastor Corey was there. Pastor Corey went into that same village to the clinic hospital. Went in there one morning. They went to pray for everybody in the hospital. By one that afternoon, the hospital was cleared. Not one patient. Fact, 100% facts. So I was in the same village at some time, and I was busy with a group of Canadians. You guys are awesome. Don't you think so? I was busy with them, and they kept me busy with busyness. They're Canadians, man. So I did not spend the time with Jesus what I should have. Remember where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 also, it says Moses had to cover his face so that the Israelites did not see that he'd lost his glory. He lost his glory. He didn't cover it because they couldn't look at him. He covered his face because he had lost glory, and he didn't want them to see that he'd lost his glory. So I was in the same situation. I was out there, and they came to me and they called me, Pastor Lowe, there's somebody who's dying with HIV/AIDS. Can you come quickly? So as they knocked on the door, as they told me that, my heart started to pound. And my heart was going, because I realized I had not been in the presence of my Father. I was not in the presence of my Father. So he turned around and he started running. The guy called me. That's one of those African pathways. And I was running behind him. We came into the house. Now there's a man on the floor. Just on a blanket. On a blanket on the floor. And immediately what I did, I knew immediately that I've got nothing to offer. I was spiritually bankrupt. Without him, spending time with him, I was bankrupt. So what I did, like Moses, covered my face. I went into pretense. I started to pretend. So I said, okay, everybody, it's fine. I'm here now. I always say this because for this, if you walk in the capacity of your God with the glory of a Father, you can walk into any situation, man. So I pretended. And I went on my knees and I prayed for the man. But I realized, you see, I just pretended for the sake of the people. As I got up from the floor that morning, I had a broken heart. The same day the man died, just hours later. And I knew I had nothing to offer. I had nothing to offer. Now the Bible says, guard your heart. I love a translation that says, guard your storehouse. For it's the wellspring of life. How do I do that? How do I guard? I live for my spirit. But how do I guard it? I spend time with Jesus and I look away from every distraction. I look away and say, Jesus. And it's the easiest thing on planet Earth. Just learn, Jesus, I want you, Jesus. My life is in you, Jesus. My strength is in you, Jesus. My future is in you. You know, we always sing that song, my life is in you, Lord. You want me to sing? My strength are in you. Okay, so I always say that whenever I hear that song. It's an old song, but whenever I always say, Jesus, it's true. My life is in you. It's true, Lord. My strength, my being, my future is in you. Apart from you, I've got nothing. It's absolutely in you. I've got a friend. Do you know Tyson Lowing from Spruce Grove? He'd been with me to Africa several times. I've got a young man, young married man from Spruce Grove, and he called me in the week. He says, oh, I must tell you something. I said, what? He said, you know, in the week, I was spending time with Jesus, and I just felt I want to boast in him. I just felt like boasting. And he said, it's like, my dad is stronger than your dad. That was his mind. My dad is stronger than your dad. And he was telling Jesus, you're great. And he was just worshipping Jesus. And he's boasting in Jesus. So they said, while he was busy, his son came in. And his son fell and hurt himself. So when the son saw, young boy, when the son saw that the dad was busy spending time with Jesus, he apologized. He said, okay, sorry, dad, sorry. Then the dad said, he said, no, man, Jesus, you're great, Jesus. And he started to boast about Jesus. And the next minute the son said, dad, something happened, I'm fine. And he was shocked a little bit. Then Sunday in church, it's quite a wacko church. He was in church and everybody was in front and was just worshipping God. So he was in the front there and he was boasting on Jesus. He said, God, you are great. There's nothing that you can't do. And he was boasting. And the next minute a lady walked up to him and she could hardly walk. With arthritis in the knee. She had severe pain. So he said, it's okay. My Jesus can do this. My Jesus. And he was boasting about Jesus. And the next minute the lady started to cry. She said, there's such a heat that went from my knee. And I've got no pain. And she was fine. And he was shocked. He called me and said, Lo, what's happening? I said, Tyson. It's the glory of a father. If and when the Son of God is lifted up, glorified, exalted, man, he will manifest his presence. He will manifest his presence. When I went through my church plans, one thing I did, I said, Jesus, I love you. Not at first, okay? At first I was very much part of a mudslinging. But I had no option other than to turn to Jesus. And then on Sunday mornings, every morning we had an encounter with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you, people. Start to look to Jesus. You trust Jesus. Keep your storehouse full of Jesus. Keep your storehouse. You know, the Bible says this. It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 35. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says this. He says, the good man brings good from the good store up within. The Amplified says this. The good man flings forth good from the good that have been stored up within him. We can store things. Let's just stop that. Then it continues. He says this. And the evil. Some of you are slipping now. You're not listening to me. I just know in the spirit you're slipping. Come back to me. This word is life. It will change your life. Thanks for being back. So he says, he's a good man. Flings forth good from the good stored up in him. And the evil man will bring evil from the evil stored up within his evil storehouse. We can store things in our storehouse. We all got a storehouse. Sometimes it's referred to as the storehouse. Sometimes it's referred to as the heart of man. But we store things. Proverbs says, guard your storehouse, for it is the wellspring of life. So we can store either Jesus or we can store distractions. I love a verse, and I'm closing. I love a verse in Acts. I'm just flowing by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? In the book of Acts, chapter 3, from the verse 1 downwards, says this. On the day of prayer, Peter and John went to the temple gate at the time of prayer. Just look at me. They went to the temple at the time of prayer. When they came to the gate, the temple gate, there was a man placed there from birth, asking for money, for dollars. So when he saw Peter and John, he expected money. But Peter said this. Now listen to this, this is very important. Peter said, look at us. Silver and gold I do not have. But such, I love a translation that says, but such as I possess. It's true, honestly, you can study it. Such as I possess, I give it unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Rise and be healed. He had it. He had the glory of the Father in him, in his storehouse. Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I possess in the name of Jesus Christ, I bring it from my storehouse. Pah! The good man, where does the power of Jesus Christ come from? Talk about a Christian. The Bible says, listen carefully. The good man flings forth good from the good stored up in him. We, Steve, come here. This is so awesome. I love a word. Some of you knows me. You know I love a word. This is the glory of a father. The father's glory. Now the Bible says this. He says in John, remember John 17, Jesus said, Father, the glory that you gave me. The Father glorified Jesus, okay? So the Father bestowed glory on Jesus. Now Jesus comes and he says this. He says, Father, the glory that you gave me.
I now give to Corey. The Father had bestowed glory on the Son, and the Son said, Ansi, I glorify you. You can walk in it. So often do we say, Jesus, this is great, but I can't take it. Because some is it's pride. Oh, no, it's pride. I can't do that. It's not pride. It's humility to say, Jesus, are you serious? You want to give me your glory? So now, I've received this. It's not mine, it's his. I'm just managing it in my storehouse. Okay? So, the man, I can, that's the right word, I'm looking for a right word. I can bestir. Manage?
Steward.
I love the word steward. Now that's a better one, sorry. It's our responsibility to steward the glory of a Father that he had bestowed on me. Let's go to another verse. Remember the first time I preached here, we preached till 4 in the afternoon. Everybody ready for 4? Okay, so now in the book of John. Thanks, Steve. You can sit here. Maybe I'll use you again. Sit here. Okay. Now in John. In John chapter 17, verse 15 and 18 says this. He says, Father, Jesus, this was one of the last prayer times Jesus prayed for the disciples. So Jesus said, he prayed. He says, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of this world. Okay? I do not pray that you take the people out of this world, but I pray that you'll keep them from the evil one. Then verse 18 says this. Verse 18 says, very important. Steve, come back. Now, you're down. Please listen to this. Now Jesus said, verse 18 says, Father, the work, what is it? Okay. You send me into this world as you have sent me, as you have sent me into this world, I now send them into this world. Okay? The word send, Kevin, the word Jesus said, Father, you have sent me into Manning. But now, so Jesus, the word sent was actually commissioned. Jesus was commissioned. He came under strict orders. So Jesus said, Father, as you have commissioned me into this world, so now do I commission Steve. The Bible says the sole purpose why Jesus came, 1 John 3:16 says, The sole purpose for the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was to destroy, to loosen, and to undo the works of the evil one. Jesus came with a purpose, okay, a mandate. Now, so Jesus says, Father, the mandate you gave me, I now hand over to Steve. There was a passing on of a baton. We can now walk with the same commission that Jesus had. It has been passed on. We can walk in that. Hallelujah. It is now you to take it and to walk with it. Thanks, Steve. But in order for me to walk with the capacity of Christ on my life, I need to spend time with Him. I need to spend time with Him. Say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. That you know, Corey, I don't know if you've seen this. Since John chapter 17, where Jesus was handing over the baton, since that moment, there was hardly any miracles. Miracles stopped there in the life of Jesus. There were one or two small ones. But the reason was the ministry was no longer in the hands of Jesus. It had been passed on. There was a passing on. The Bible says Jesus walked for 40 days on planet Earth after he was crucified and raised. 40 days. Didn't do any great miracles. Hardly any great teachings. Why? There was a passing on of a ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. We are now the representatives of Christ and of heaven. You represent heaven on earth. We all do. So we walk in that capacity. But what will hinder us is all these small distractions. Forgetting to focus on Jesus will hinder us for walking in the great capacity and the anointing of Jesus. Is this okay? So whatever, thanks Steve. So whatever, Pastor Corey called it the wall. Whatever wall you've been faced up till today, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave it. Drop it. Drop it. I was telling somebody in the week, next weekend I'm preaching in Medicine Hat, and they are going to come people with all kinds of serious sickness and diseases, and they're just waiting for the man of God to come. And now the pastor there wants to raise me up. Lo, there's going to be big things. It's for real. Lo, people are bringing all kinds of half-dead people there. And I told him this. I said, my friend, my mentor, he used to teach me that the more serious a matter attempts to be, assumed to be, the more serious it assumes to be, the less attention you need to give it. Don't focus on it. Don't focus on it. By the way, remember when Jesus said that he had leveled everything? Colossians chapter 2 says, he defeated and disarmed the powers and the principalities. Okay? Whatever it might be, Jesus defeated them. Jesus leveled all sickness and diseases to zero. He took away, the Bible says, he took away their power. He took it away. So they are all zero. Everybody say zero. Some issues wants to boast as if they are bigger than others. You know that. But as a man and a woman of God, you should say, Jesus, you are great. All power and authority in heaven belongs to you. And all these things are nothing. I want you, Jesus. You are my life and my strength. I only want you, Jesus. Amen. Church, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and let the glory of God shine forth from you. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Corey.
Thank you, Will. The one verse in
turned into one of my favorites. Of course, there's 38,000, and probably 38,000 of them are my favorites. But that He has commissioned us, but He is wanting us to go, but the world is waiting for us. Romans 8:19 says, "For all of creation is waiting with eager anticipation for the revealing of the sons of God." They're waiting for you to step into this and to step out with it. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. God was speaking to me a year and a half ago, and you can go into my office, you can see my notes, you can talk to Murray, you can talk to Terrell about it, that a year and a half ago, I was in a prayer vigil here for about 3 hours, and the biggest thing that God kept saying, this is a year and a half ago, He said, keep on. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. And it was, and that has been repeated for the last year and a half from so many different people. Don't focus on the distractions. Carry on with what you're supposed to do. And that is what I'm supposed to do. And I have to trust that everyone else does what they are supposed to do. I have to trust that Lo does his work. I have to trust that Steve does his work, and all of us. And that's what we do. We keep on keeping on. Anyhow, I'm not here to preach. That was Lo's job, and he did it. Usually when he greets me in the past, he came up to me, and he would hit me. And you don't, if you know this guy, you look at him, you can see it, that he doesn't hit nicely. But today he didn't. But he hit me with the word. And I think that was the best way. I missed the hit. You'll get me later, I'm sure. But if you are needing prayer, this is an opportune time for you, because we have Lo here, we have God here, and we want to pray for you. So if you do have a need, please come forward, and we want to pray for you. If you don't, God bless you richly. We will see you next time, and we will, next week is rodeo weekend, but we are still having our service here. I know some of you will be gone with rodeo stuff, but we are still having our service right here at the church. Bless you richly. We'll see you next time.